two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, I am joined by Tracy Bissett. She is the Chief Financial Fitness Trainer for Bissett Financial. And welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you so much, Heather. I'm really pleased to be here.
Now, this may sound a little weird given the economic issues that we're facing at the moment, but we are actually going to talk about entrepreneurship, which actually, this may be the best time to start that.
Absolutely.
Let's say I've never owned my own business, but I've lost my job now. I do have just a little bit of financial resources available to me. I could start something on my own. Do I just throw all that money at an office space and just open up? Like, what should I do?
So that wouldn't be necessarily where I recommend that you start. One of the most important things when you are starting a business is to think about the things that you're good at and you're passionate about. And think about where there's a need in the market. So sometimes people like to get going right away and start a business, but there's actually a lot of value in creating a business plan and validating the idea and making sure there's a need in the market, that your idea is something that people want to pay for. And so there's a lot of great free templates online where you can do that without too much muss and fuss, but then you can certainly do some surveying of people to find out what they think before you commit any of your financial resources. As you know, Heather, many businesses go under very quickly, and the odds of them continuing in business reduce every year that they're in business. So lots of businesses fail, and if you want to have one that has a good chance for success, you want to make sure you validate that you're providing something valuable to the market.
Yeah, because one of the first things out of my mouth was a business plan. And to me, that sounds like homework, and I'm really not into doing homework. So what value is doing a business plan to me?
I wouldn't think of it as homework. I would think about it as really laying the plan for what you want your business to look like. And so you're going to research the industry you want to launch your product or service in. You're going to think about your capabilities, who else you might need on your team, and you're going to think about the financial aspects. Obviously, if you have a retail store, it's certainly going to look a lot different financially than if you have a service-based business where you deliver online. All of a sudden, the expenses related to those two different types of businesses are completely different. But the key is coming back to make sure you're offering something that people want to buy, and that you can do it safely and profitably at a price that people want to buy it. And so by doing that legwork up front, you can move ahead then with more confidence, with more success. And it may make it seem like you're kind of delaying things at the beginning, but I can guarantee that for every hour you spend planning, we'll reap rewards at the end. Sometimes people create a business plan and they decide that, you know, I can't actually make any money doing this particular thing. It may lead to a pivot. And if you look at some of the really successful entrepreneurs out there, they haven't necessarily had a big hit or a home run on the first business, but as they pivoted and listened to the market, they were able to succeed. So if you've lost your job and you do have limited resources, you want to make sure if you start that business, you're starting from a place where you believe that you're going to be successful based on facts and research that you've done.
And I think now also would be a really good time if you are thinking of making that career change or starting your own business. You might have the time right now to actually take a few classes in business or just understanding a little bit better about whatever industry is that you want to start off with. And there are a lot of classes that are free online right now.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking the exact same thing when you said that. There's never been a better time to start a business. Courses that maybe you used to pay for 2 months ago now are being made available free. So you can certainly do a lot of the research and digging and learn about the skill sets that it takes to be an entrepreneur because you have to wear so many hats. It's a really good time to see if that works for you. I've been working with a woman who's starting a virtual assistance business, and as we're working together, some things are coming up for her that maybe she didn't necessarily think of right away. And so being able to envision exactly what that will look like or how it's going to work will save you a lot of surprises later and could actually change the direction of where you take the business.
And also, I like what you said about making sure that whatever business you're in will actually or could actually make you money, because I sort of inherited a little candle making business from my mother who learned it from her mother. And, you know, back in the day when the power went out, candles were really your only other resource. And while they're fun to make and you can make them all fancy and pretty in some areas and they can smell good, they can be a fire hazard. You know, you go to any car wash place and those candles are a dime a dozen, except they don't cost you a dime. They cost you a kind of a little bit of a fortune. But now with all those LED lights that last for thousands of hours and everybody has the light on their smartphones, that's what people use if they need light. And so me trying to go, hey, let me start an online business with my candles, I'm guessing I really am not going to make that much money at it.
Likely not. And one of the things I do consistently see with the entrepreneurs that I work with and I coach as they increase their financial skills and understanding of that side of the business is they don't necessarily know that they're not making any money. So we usually do a deep dive on how much does it cost to produce your product or your service, just like you were talking about, because maybe it costs more than you can actually sell it for. So you've got to do research on the pricing side. What will the market bear and what value are you bringing? But then also, what does it actually cost me to make or deliver this? And a lot of times people find that they're not charging enough and they are losing money on whatever they are offering. The other sad thing is when that happens, then the owner doesn't typically get paid. So if you're trying to replace income from a lost job, that may not be the fastest way to do that.
Yeah, I actually want to dive a little bit more into that about how do you learn what price points are. But we have to take a little break. So when we come back, we're going to go more into how do I learn what a price point is and actually what is price point? Because you may have just said a phrase that people don't really know what that is. So we'll be right back with Tracy Bissett.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way whatsoever, we're going to talk about it. And today we are talking about the costs or the benefits of maybe becoming your own person, your own business person, and an entrepreneur. And joining me today is Tracy Bissett. She is the chief financial fitness trainer, I actually like that phrase, for Bissett Financial. So welcome back, Tracy.
Thank you so much, Heather.
Really fast before we get going, a fitness financial trainer. Did I get that right?
Yeah, financial fitness trainer. And so when people talk about it, financial literacy, to me that always has a really negative connotation, that it's presuming that you're illiterate and you don't know anything about money. And so I like to come at it from a positive angle, because just like physical fitness, you might be taking that first walk around the block, or you could be training for marathons, but wherever you are on the spectrum, you're taking positive steps. The exact same thing when it comes to your financial life. You might be learning just about different bank accounts, or you could be learning more to be a really sophisticated investor. And so I like to think about it as the spectrum that we move along, and that every day we can learn new things and we can actually change our financial future. And so I like to come at it from the financial fitness, and that it's a muscle we can strengthen every day.
Love that philosophy on money, training yourself, because that is really it.
Yeah, and it comes from the positive side, that everything you do will help you. The more you learn, the better you can, decisions you can make, the better you can take care of your financial future, whether you're an individual or an entrepreneur.
Well, I need to learn about price point, because for me to open up my candle making business, which I know is just going to go like gangbusters here. I bought, 5 gallons of wax, and I bought 500 wicks and jars to put all that in to make these really pretty candles and decorations to put it all on. And then I'm going to sell each of those for $2. And so I'm going to make a fortune.
Okay, so I'll give you two different ways that I approach it in terms of how we figure that out. So if we were going to look into your candles. So firstly, we want to look at your expense structure. So there's some things that you have to spend money on because you need them to build the candles. So like you talked about the wicks and the wax. So we need to figure out per candle, how much does that cost? So you'd have to divide it by however you can make with that big wax amount you mentioned, and then how much per wick and anything else that goes into it, as well as the time for you to make it, because you may not be the only person making it, and so you may have staff, so how much would you have to pay them? So that's all around the costs that go into directly producing the item. But then there's some other costs that you may have. You may be doing it in your basement, but you still should be thinking about notionally, how much electricity am I using? What else might I need to pay for that doesn't directly correspond with how many candles I'm going to sell, but I still have to pay? And we call those fixed or overhead or like costs that you can't change. You've got to pay them no matter how many candles that you sell. And so when you add up all those costs together, you get an indication of maybe where your pricing should be, as well as you want to have a little bit of margin in there for your profit. So you can figure that out in isolation about where ideally you might like to be. But then we need to go and scan the market and see people who are selling candles that look, smell, perhaps are just like mine, how much do those people charge? Is there something about mine that's different that I can show as having more value? So maybe instead of $2, maybe you can charge $2.25 a candle. And so then you need to marry up what will people spend on this versus how much does it cost me? And a lot of times when people actually dig into these numbers and figure it out, they will find that they can't actually make a profit on these items, and they may be losing money on every candle that they sell. Okay. For something like candles, though, in this particular one, perhaps if you're able to sell a high quantity of them, so a volume might get you to making profit, but just one-off, you want to start there.
Okay, so as you were talking, I was sort of adding up some of these numbers in my head, and I did not take into account the electricity or the time that I need. And there are times when a neighbor helps me, and so far, usually I just feed her dinner or something when she comes to help me. But if she ever wants actual money and pay, wow. I am going to be losing my shirt if I'm only charging $2 a candle. So that's an eye opener.
Yeah, and I think when you're thinking about planning a business, you want to plan for it to be successful. You want to plan for there to be growth. And so you do need to think about, exactly like you just said, what if your neighbor is now an employee and needs to get paid? Does the business still work when it's not really a hobby, if you will?
I get through all that. I finally figure out, you know what? I should actually be charging $8 per candle if anybody wants to buy one. So now I have my price point set. What's the next step?
So you need to look in the market. Will people pay that much for what your candle looks like? Are other people charging that much, or is the price in the market only $4? So if reasonably all that people will spend is $4, you've got a couple different things to think about. Could you potentially sell them in a box of 20, and all of a sudden now the economics looks a little bit better, so individually you can charge less? Is it feasible? Do people buy that many candles? I mean, we're going with this example because it's certainly the business that's been passed down to you, but there are so many substitutes for candles out there, like you talked about the LED lights and other things. Maybe it's just not going to work for candles. And wow. So maybe you need to have it as a hobby, something you do for fun, for the pure joy, and if you can sell some, great. But perhaps then you need to pivot to a different idea. And that's really the value of doing a business plan. You can figure out this stuff as much as you can before you actually spend your savings or borrow money, even worse, to fund the venture.
Okay. Well, I think I figured out that selling candles isn't going to make me rich. So if I want to be an entrepreneur where I have my own business and I don't have to answer to the man, so to speak, I've got to do something else. So now I've got to figure out, well, what else am I passionate about? And it may not be, like you said, like this example we've been talking about is a bit more retail, but you talked about other services. What type of services could I sell myself aside from, you know, down on the street corner?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, think about what your skills are, your strengths, what you get energized from doing. So, like for myself, I'm leveraging my background in financial services to work with entrepreneurs and help them better understand their money. It leverages both a strength I have of that knowledge, but also I get really energized from helping entrepreneurs. Maybe you're going to take some courses and become a life coach. Maybe you could become someone who, if you're knowledgeable about the operations of different businesses, you could be teaching on that. It also, if you have a skill, you could be offering courses to help other people do exactly what you know how to do. So maybe it is something around building some other kind of product or service. Maybe you're a wizard at social media and you can teach other people how to be really great at that. So it really depends on what your strengths are, and it has to be something that you're going to have fun doing, because as an entrepreneur, it's not all sunshine and roses every day. You're going to have to work hard, and you want it to be something that you get a lot of enjoyment out of. As well, if you're going to be working with people versus just selling products, where maybe you don't interact as much, what are the types of people that you like to deal with? And so putting all those things together is going to land on something you'll enjoy and that you don't mind putting in a lot of time to get going and make it successful.
Okay, we have to take one more break. When we come back, I want to jump a little bit ahead. I've now figured out what I want to do. I know what my price point is. We got to go into how long it will take before I see a profit. So we'll be right back with Tracy Bissett. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that it affects your life. We're going to talk about it. And of course, we're always talking about money. But today it's going to be, how can I make money or make a profit if I decide to go into business for myself? Joining me is Tracy Bissett. You are the Chief Financial Fitness Trainer for Bissett Financial. In the last couple of segments, we've gone through kind of using my candle making business, such as it is, as an example of how I learn a price point, basically how much I'm spending for my supplies and how much I need to sell each individual candle in order to make a profit. And we came to the realization it's not going to work for me. So then we've moved on to what else floats my boat. So I was a veterinary technician for many, many years. And I am very good at taking care of animals. They need sub-Q fluids or administering medications to them. And a lot of people are squeamish. You know, pet owners are squeamish when they have to poke or their pets or maybe shove some pill down their throat. So I've decided now I'm going to sell myself as pet sitter for the sick pets. I've figured out my price margin. I know how much it'll take for my time and what I think my time is worth and can make a profit, all of that. How long will it take me before I actually see that profit?
So So it really depends. So we'll stick with your example. So that's great. So I have a dog and I have challenges with some of those things you were just talking about. So that would be a needed service, I think. So when we talk about profit, just for everyone's clarification, it's how much do we sell? So our total sales minus all the expenses in our business, that's what gets us to profit. And so when you're starting up, even with a service-based business like you talked about, Heather, you're going to have some costs that you have to lay out just to get going. You're going to need to probably create a website. You might be getting some uniforms, things that you wear when you go there, and other expenses that you're going to have. So those are kind of some overhead or fixed costs. If you're going on the fly, I imagine in this business you go to people's houses and you work in their space, so you don't need to rent your own space. So it's going to depend on what is that total outlay that you have to make at the beginning, and then how quickly those sales come. So let's pretend you spent $5,000 to get set up at the beginning. Okay. And depending on your price point for the service that you're going to provide, how many clients will you need to have to be able to cover that? And so if you just sell enough services and appointments for the pet sitting to cover the $5,000, you've broke even, which means profit of zero. And then how many would it take until you actually get over that amount and you start making more money? So the good thing about the kind of business you're envisioning now is there is very little overhead and there's very few costs except for really your time and going around and doing these visits. The thing you wouldn't want to forget about is if you're going in a little bit bigger geography and you need to drive to your clients, then you're going to need to factor things in that relate to your car if you're not able to take transit. Or even if you are taking transit, what's the cost of that? Because those are all costs to the business.
If I work out ahead of time, I know I am going to need that $5,000 for my initial investment, business cards, advertising, website, all of that. But I don't have $5,000. I need to get a business loan. That's where that business plan would come in that you talked about way back in the beginning.
Absolutely. And I would say for that amount of money, it would be challenging to probably just go out and secure it on the merits of the business. Lenders are not overly comfortable with startups in themselves because they are responsible to shareholders who are looking for conservative accommodations. So you may be getting access to financing on your personal name. So maybe you're getting a line of credit personally and you're able to use those funds in your business. Maybe it's through a credit card. Certainly credit card probably want to be one of your later options because of the interest rates that those credit card companies are going to charge you. Also, what you should consider is depending on your age, there are a lot of grants and programs out there for startup businesses where you may be able to apply and get grant funding to support your dream. And so depending on your age, there's different programs available that may make that a reality. And you might not even have to pay the money back. Perhaps you get an interest-free loan from one of these groups. So in your particular instance, one group I know that's worldwide moving into different countries is SHEEO. And what that entails is that women investors pool their money and actually vote for women-led businesses that they want to support. So you could make an application, and if you were selected, you would get money to help fund your business. And it's repayable interest-free over 5 years.
So, oh, I like that. And that she, S-H-E, and then E-O.
E-O.
SHEEO.
Absolutely. And it is, I'm in Canada, which is where it originated, but I do know that it's been around for a couple of years in the U.S. And so that's a way that women business owners are supporting other women business owners. But there are certainly programs if you're a young entrepreneur, if you're an entrepreneur of a certain diversity group, there may be special things for that. And so you always want to consider where's their free money or cheaper money.
I always like free money. That's a good good thing. I think I have a fairly good foundation of at least how I can start. I want to make sure I start off with a business plan and maybe even before that, make sure I know what my price point is going to be so that I can make a little bit of profit down the road once I get started. But if I need more counseling, Tracy, and I need your services, how do I get a hold of you?
So the best way to reach me is on LinkedIn. I'm on there all the time. So it's Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, And BISSET is B-I-S-S-E-T-T, two S's, two T's. So I'd love to hear from anybody listening. You'd love to reach out with questions or comments. And I know after what we've talked through, Heather, that some people will want to get started and start working on money-related things. And so I have a nice offering for them. It's a money meeting agenda to help you get focused on what you need to look at. And you can head over to cashcoach.biz, and you'll be able to download that money meeting agenda. So cashcoach.biz to get that so you can get started today and see if your dream of becoming a business owner has some merit, and give you, if you already are a business owner, to get you focused on the things you need to from a financial standpoint.
Great. So yeah, we're heading to cashcoach.biz to get much more information if we are really serious about getting into our business. Or maybe I have a business and I am struggling and I'm just not sure where I went wrong somewhere along the way. That will help us out.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much again, Tracy BISSET. You are the Chief Financial Fitness Trainer for BISSET Financial, and you have really helped me, especially I think I need to ditch the candle thing, except for maybe gifts for somebody's birthday or something, and move along.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to join you, and it's really fun talking about all these aspects of business.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's H-K-E-L-L-Y at ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on social media.